And now the game where we treat respected people with very little respect. It's a surprise to them, but we call it Not My Job. What Ebert and Roper were to movies, or what Larry King is to ex-wives, Buster Olney is to baseball. He is a senior writer for ESPN Magazine, a regular on ESPN's Baseball Tonight, and author of the best-selling book, The Last Night of the Yankee Dynasty. We are delighted to have him join us. Buster Olney, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing great, Buster. Well, great to have you here. So we want to talk, obviously, about the season. It's just underway. The Red Sox and Cubs are already stinking, so all is right with the world. But were you one of those guys who were always interested in baseball? This is your passion?
Yeah, I was always interested in baseball, despite the fact that I came from a family where everyone else hated baseball. I grew up on a dairy farm in Vermont, and they were all interested in farming and had no interest in baseball. In fact, when I was 10 years old and played Little League for the first time, I already was a burgeoning nerd and would come back from my games and stand in the kitchen and recite for my mother all of the plays and every pitch and every inning. And that, after about two games, my mother said to me, "Buster, you have tremendous potential to be very boring."
Congratulations, sir, for living up to that potential. So, then this is a question for me, because I'm a big baseball fan, but you actually get to know these guys. You're around professional baseball all the time. Does being that close to it ruin it for you as a fan? Can you know too much?
Well, not really. You know, I love the games on a daily basis, but you do have certain moments where it's not quite what you expected. A few years ago, Red Sox and Yankees, remember they had that big fight during the playoffs, and Pedro Martinez threw Don Zimmer to the ground.
Oh, yeah. I just want to clarify for the audience. Pedro Martinez at the time was a 30-ish pitcher for the Red Sox. Don Zimmer was a 70-year-old man, a coach, kind of large and fat and bald, if I can be so bold. But go on.
So I ran down to the Yankees clubhouse to position myself to be the first reporter into the clubhouse because I wanted to be in the best possible position to talk to Don Zimmer after that game. And sure enough, I was the first guy through the door, raced over to Don Zimmer's locker, stood right there in front of the locker, and a wall of reporters came running in behind me. And even if I had wanted to move, I couldn't have. And so I was in the perfect position, and then I look over, and here comes Don Zimmer out of the shower. And he's got a towel on, and he gets in front of his locker, and he drops the towel with his backside toward me and bends over. And now, I've known Don Zimmer a long time, and I don't think he was trying to moon me, but he got the job done that day.
Yeah.
That was probably the most memorable day of my time as a reporter.
I think I could never watch a baseball game again after that. You're known and respected for being a pretty fair reporter. You're not one of those sports writers who makes their bones by just, you know, telling the readers or viewers how awful some sports hero or may or may not be. Do you ever regret that? Do you ever really want to just rip into somebody?
Yeah, certainly there are times you have your issues with some players, and they may say some things to you behind closed doors. But generally speaking, you just talk about how they're playing on the field.
What if these guys don't like what you write about them? I mean, do they let you know about it?
They do let you know about it. And part of my job when I covered the Baltimore Orioles actually was to get cussed out about 20 minutes every day by the owner of the Orioles at the time, Peter Angelos. Who didn't like what was written in the Baltimore Sun a lot, so I'd call him up and I'd hold the phone about 3 feet away from my ear and he would just wear himself out for 20 minutes.
And what would you write that would make him do that?
It wasn't me so much, it was some of my colleagues, and I was the one he talked to, so he would just yell at me, and then after about 20 minutes he would say, "I don't know why I'm yelling at you, you didn't write it," but that was just kind of his thing.
That's very charitable of you, actually.
Why didn't he talk to the people who wrote it?
Because he wasn't talking to them, but he was talking to me.
Can I ask you a question? What is there a point at which you've said everything that can be said about baseball?
Absolutely not. There's a new game, a new story every day.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not like my mother, Paula.
No, I don't find you boring at all, by the way. It's baseball I'm concerned about.
Whenever we hear people talking about baseball, though, they're always saying the same things. If a guy's hitting, they say, "Well, he's seeing the ball well." You know, "Well, if the pitcher's pitching, he's really executing his pitches." Or, "He's not executing his pitches." And we all nod and listen.
That's why I talk about Don Zimmer mooning people.
Exactly. Yeah. It's more interesting.
But isn't there always the possibility of the miraculous thing? Like the Yankees turned a triple play this week. They haven't done it like in 40, 50 years.
That's right. Exactly right. And every day you could see something you haven't seen before. Opening day, you know, the Braves rookie outfielder Jason Hayward, 20 years old, hits a ball 461 feet in his first at bat playing in his hometown. That's a pretty cool moment.
That's why we watch,
Paul.
Yeah. Oh.
It all comes clear. It all comes clear for Paul.
I got to ask you, because we're in Chicago, what is with the Cubs? Because statistically, if you were to, like, throw dice, if there were, like, 30 times, eventually you'd come up with the Cubs and they'd win. And yet they haven't in 100 years. Can you explain this? Is, in fact, there a curse? Because I'm already with the supernatural at this point.
Well, I actually heard a story today that ESPN, a couple weeks ago, they had someone came through who was a fortune teller. And one of the news editors here walked up to the fortune teller and said, "Can you please find out if the curse is going to be taken away from the Cubs?" And the fortune teller said, "I've tried it. It can't happen."
Really? She didn't even have to check with the spirits. She just knew.
She said it was a lost cause. Forget it. And so it's been more than 100 years, and apparently it's going to be another 100 years.
One last question, and I say this as someone who loves baseball, talking to someone who really loves baseball. Do you ever, with all the work that you do, ever get up in the morning in the middle of the summer and say, you know, the last thing in the world I want to do is watch another baseball game?
No. Sadly,
really?
No. No, that's like my mom said, you know, tremendous potential to be very boring.
And there you go. Congratulations on living up to it. I'm sorry, that came out wrong. Well, Buster Olney, we are delighted to have you with us. Enough about that game. Let's play ours. We have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Reports of his death are not exaggerated at all.
Samuel Clemens, known as Mark Twain, died 100 years ago this week, inspiring many celebrations of his life and work. We're going to do our own by asking you three questions about the lesser-known aspects of his life. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners. Carl, who is Buster Olney playing for?
Buster is playing for Jess Muse of South Portland, Maine.
Ready to play?
I'm ready to go. Another New Englander.
There you go. All right, square up your bat. Hope you're seeing the ball well. Here is your first question. Mark Twain went to great lengths to sell his books, including which of these schemes? A, he dedicated one to John Smith, not because he knew or liked a John Smith, but because he figured there were lots of them who would buy the book. B, he had an early edition of Tom Sawyer printed to look just like the Bible. Or C, the hardcover of Huckleberry Finn was sold as, quote, a story and a flotation device.
I'll guess A.
You're going to guess A. He dedicated it to John Smith? Yes, he did, in fact. It was the first published story, the celebrated jumping frog of Calaveras County. Very good. Here's your next question. Twain was an enthusiastic, if unsuccessful, businessman. He started a publishing house, which made a lot of money on President Grant's memoirs. But then he lost it all when he gambled the company on what failed blockbuster follow-up? Was it A, an enormous book of a new fad from Britain called Crossword Puzzles? B, an exhaustive biography of Pope Leo XII, or C, a catalog of the insects of the American South?
Wow. I am going to go C.
You're going to go C, a catalog of the American Southern insect species. No, it was actually Leo XII. Apparently, nobody really cared about Pope Leo XII. Twain only sold 200 copies and went bankrupt. All right, this is very exciting. Bottom of the ninth. Here you go, two outs. If you get this one right, you win. Twain loved technology. He was an inventor himself. Among his inventions was which of these? A, a new and improved kind of suspenders for pants. B, a cigar holder that holds and blends the smoke of two cigars at once. Or C, a fishing apparatus that involved small explosive charges.
I'm going to say C, given his time on the water.
You say fishing apparatus, like you throw in a little bomb with a reel attached to it or something like that. That's what you think?
Yeah.
No. Oh. It was the suspenders. I'm sorry. Yes.
A swing and a miss.
Yeah. There is no joy in Bristol.
I'm going to go watch a baseball game.
Yeah. Make you no, Twain patented a, quote, improvement in adjustable and detachable straps for garments to replace plain old suspenders. So, Carl, how did Buster Olney do?
Well, Buster needed two correct answers to win for Jess Muse. He had just one.
Okay, Buster, I'm going to turn the table on you a little bit. So now you're doing your post-game press conference. and we want to know why you lost. What happened out there, Buster?
I totally choked.
Yeah.
See, I was given advice by a pitcher named David Cohn of the Yankees. He said, when you have a bad game, just say it. And then there's no other question that can be asked. So I just stunk up the joint.
Why do you think that was?
And how does it feel?
How does it feel?
Yeah, I'm a loser.
Well, Buster Olney is a senior writer for ESPN Magazine. He's a regular in ESPN's Baseball Tonight and the author of the best-selling book, The Last Night of the Yankee Dynasty, which is a wonderful title for a book, I have to say, as a Red Sox fan. Buster Olney, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Take care.